Well, even though it's communion tonight and we usually break from our series, we're actually going to continue with our series on fruitfulness on the front line. And tonight's talking about ministering grace. And later on, after we've shared in communion and looked at God's word, we're going to have the video. It's very practical, some very helpful stuff to finish our evening with, to launch us into a new week. But before that, I wanted to just ground this subject, ministering grace, in God's word, but particularly in the example of Jesus Christ here in John 4. So if you've got John 4, it'd be helpful to have it open. We've obviously not got time to look at loads of it. But ministering grace, that's the subject tonight. When you think about grace, I mean, how many of us have had something done for us by someone that they didn't have to do? Something good that someone's done for us, but they didn't have to do it. There was no obligation, they weren't paid, they just willingly, freely did it for us. Can you remember how you felt or what impact that had on you when someone did something for you that they didn't have to? That's what grace is about. Grace is about ministering, about serving, doing something for others, giving them blessing, favor, when you don't have to. And the word minister does mean to serve someone else, and that's what grace is all about. It's about giving, serving. One of the things that the guy keeps saying in the video, and I'm going to keep saying it as well, grace doesn't have to, but it does. And grace, of course, we know this favour, this blessing, that we use this word about God's favour to us. It's not earned, it's not owed, it's not even deserved. When we talk about grace, it's not just that it's a gift. Often gifts, well, they're nice to have, but they're not always that necessary. Oh, thanks for that tie. I'll add it to the collection I've got of 10, and hopefully a wedding will come up soon and I'll actually wear it. Not that I'm not grateful for the tie. Sorry if someone did give me a tie. But it's a gift, and it's nice to receive a gift. It's a gesture. But grace is not really that. Grace is a lot more than that. When we talk about grace, it's actually something that's needed, although the person who needs it may not even realize or recognize they need it. We often pray for God's grace in a situation, and that's almost like a synonym, a way of saying, you know, I need this particular help. I can't handle this. I need something to help me here. Grace. And in John 4, we see a lady who is in need. Her need maybe is less obvious than many of the people that Jesus met and the needs that he was confronted with. She isn't physically blind, she's not lame, she's not diseased. But the fact that she is drawing water at such a time of day when everyone else is tucked away behind closed doors indicates there's a situation she is facing. She is surely drawing water at this time of day when everyone else is tucked away in the well that's communal and used by everyone else. But she's drawing water now to avoid everyone else. I imagine she feels like an outcast. She feels rejected, maybe despised even by others in that town. Even if she wasn't treated badly by others, maybe she went at that time to protect herself emotionally, to avoid potentially rejection. And maybe she was. Maybe she experienced rejection. Maybe she was despised. Having had 4 husbands already and now living with another man, she would have felt stigmatized, rejected, ashamed. We don't know what's happened in her relationships, and she may need help in how to relate. But the bottom line is, this woman is needy. She is feeling or experiencing rejection, loneliness, potentially hated, and I'm sure ashamed. And we see firstly, and it's there at the start of the passage, Jesus goes to her. Jesus goes to her. Ministering grace, firstly, is about going. When all others have shut their doors to this woman, Jesus goes to her. When others have turned their backs, withheld their hand, Jesus reaches out in love. And that's what grace is about. It's about going out of our way to meet people in their need. About going to people. About reaching out. About seeking an opportunity to get alongside and to bless. And Jesus goes to her at the exact time and the place where I think she probably feels it most, her need. Yes, avoiding everyone, but possibly sensing people are watching. In the safety of her home, maybe she forgets her situation and how people view her. But there, right there in the world, that point in time, she probably feels her need the most. And that's when Jesus goes to her and gets alongside her. And ministering grace is firstly about going to people where they are. It might mean going the other side of the world, or as we saw in that video, it might mean going to people who are just here in London. It might mean going from one side of this room to the other. But it's about going out of our way. Jesus here in John 4:4, it says that he had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. Now, as the crow flies, you could say, yes, he did. But historically, culturally, as you look into how people travelled at that time, who were Jews, from where he was going to where he was going, they were very unlikely to pass through Samaria. There were other routes they would take, routes which were much more safe, routes where others on that journey were Jews and they didn't have to mix with these Samaritans who they viewed differently. Most Jews wouldn't have taken that route that he took. There were safer, more logical, normal routes to take. The only reason why he had to go through Samaria was because he had to do the Father's will and meet this lady. And that's why he's gone there, to meet this Samaritan woman, and as we find out later on, so that the message of the gospel reaches more than just this woman, but others too. So if you have your Bibles, you'll see there in verse 34, what basically Jesus needs to do, why he has to go through Samaria, is because Jesus, as grace personified, as love come down, as God come down, he has to do what God the Father would do. He has to do the Father's will. He's compelled to. Jesus does not have to go except in obedience to the Father's will. And that's what we're saying. Grace doesn't have to, but it does. That's what it does. And this picture of Jesus going to this lady, going to Samaria, isn't it a picture of what God has done in general in coming to us in Jesus Christ? He left heaven to be Emmanuel, to be God with us. So he's not distant, but he's come near. And the reason for his coming was to get us even nearer to God, because through his death on the cross, which we're going to celebrate soon, it was to bring us to God. And that's what God wants for us. All because he was willing to minister grace, it's possible now for this lady, it's possible now for us to know God personally. He went from glory to this ground, this earth that we're on, and then he went to the grave to bring us to God. And this immediately helps us to see and understand that of course, going, ministering grace is about going, can be costly. It's not easy. Look at the cost it involved for God the Father to send the Son, but for Jesus to come and to die on the cross. It can be costly, it can be inconvenient, it can be uncomfortable, but it's what grace does. It doesn't have to, but grace does go to people despite the cost. It's what grace does. As we receive God's grace then, as we follow Jesus' example, as we realize what he's done for us, the grace that we've received through this undeserved forgiveness through the cross, for him dying in our place, the Bible says that we're compelled, we're almost controlled, we're motivated, we're moved to give grace. So 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For Christ's love compels us, it constrains us, it controls us, it moves us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." We understand now that grace received is to be given. So why we could avoid going through Samaria, Christ's love compels us, so we, like him, have to go through Samaria. We have to go through these routes, these places, in order to meet these people who Jesus loves. Well, as I said, Jesus, for geographical reasons, doesn't have to go through Samaria, but he personifies grace. He shows us what grace does. he must go through Samaria in order to meet this lady. And while we don't have to truly reflect God and rightfully respond to how he has treated us, we too are to called to go out of our way. Go out of our way to welcome. We've been watching that video, haven't we? To welcome these people who may be feeling lonely, feeling lost, feeling unaccepted, feeling misunderstood. We go out of our way to talk to someone whose English is very difficult to understand, but we persevere with it, not because we get anything out of it, but it's grace. We go out of our way to get alongside someone younger than us, someone very different to us, maybe from a different culture, maybe a different colour. We prejudice has no place in grace. It's all about giving, which is the second point. It's about giving. Ministering grace is about giving. What does Jesus do here? What does he give? Well, he meets her need, and ultimately he meets her deepest and big need as he offers her in this passage eternal life. He offers her acceptance with God and a place in heaven forever. The need of every person, the most important deep need. However, if someone is dying of thirst, then giving them a cup of water may be that starting point for them to hear about and understand their deepest need. If someone is hurting, a hug might be the starting point for them hearing about Jesus, the healer of souls. If someone is tired, enabling them to have a rest by maybe looking after their kids during half term could be a starting point for them hearing about Jesus, the one who offers eternal rest. God's grace can be ministered then in the small as well as big ways, as well as telling people about the fantastic news that Jesus saves and there's a place in heaven through trusting in him. It can be ministered in just the small things. And it's often the small things that lead to us sharing the big. People need to hear, of course, about Jesus and about the forgiveness he offers. But first, they may just need to see or experience a small act of grace. A small evidence, a small thing that will help them understand what grace is. And everyone has different needs. What do you think the need of, and we've only got time to look at this lady, but what do you think the need of this lady is at this moment? Thinking of her situation, I would say it was acceptance. I think that word appeared on the video again, acceptance. It starts with Jesus asking her for a drink. Now, if you didn't approve of someone, you refused to eat with them. And it's not that he's refusing to eat or drink with her. It's not even that he's offering her a drink. He's asking her to give him a drink. This is radical. This is much more significant than even Jesus offering her a drink. Because he's making her feel needed. He's making her feel approved. He's making her feel accepted by giving her this small but important task of helping him. Makes you think, doesn't it? We can be very disapproving, maybe even dismissive of those who don't believe what we believe. We can be fearful too, and we need to be wise and well prepared at times when we go into situations where we want to minister to people who aren't Christians. But as we look at Jesus' example, he was described as the friend of sinners. He went to this lady. He was sitting there at the well. He was getting alongside her. He humbly was willing to be served by her, which was at that point maybe her need, to be needed in that little way. He knows where he's going. He knows he's going to offer eternal life and help her to understand that he is the way, the truth, the life, and he is the living water. But initially, he meets her immediate need. It could, of course, be the other way around as we think about other situations. It could be us, as we've said, getting alongside others, inviting someone else in, accepting others, welcoming. In our approach to church life, for example, is it still often what we feel we need and what we want? Or are we thinking of others' needs and how we can meet their needs, those around us? Those who truly understand grace, minister grace, they give. As we have been given, so we give. They give without thinking. They give without saying, what's in it for me? They give. because they have received. And we do that because we understand that we're only accepted by Jesus or by God. We're only welcomed into God's family, not because of anything we have ever done. In fact, the opposite. As Victor was saying earlier, our sin just shows how incredible grace is. The more sin, the more grace. God's offer of forgiveness, despite what we have done. And when we understand that, that we are undeserving, we are unacceptable, but God in his love saves, then we will want to give as we have been given. Grace begets grace, and so our ministry is to give as we have been given to, undeservingly. Helping those who cannot help themselves, yes. But helping those who are helpless. And that may mean doing those small things. For example, victims of starvation. They need saving. They need their souls saved. But not meeting their hunger could prevent their soul from ever being nourished too. So grace is on the lookout for opportunities to give in the small ways, but always obviously with an eye on the big, that through those small acts of grace, people too may come to know the grace offered by Jesus Christ, salvation in him. And one of the ways, finally, we can show grace, a massive way of indicating grace, is through forgiveness. So ministering grace, as well as going to people, as well as giving to people, inevitably or invariably involves forgiving. Or forgiveness is a massive way of demonstrating grace. That's a big part of what Jesus is offering this lady. He knows all about her sin. He knows everything she has done. She says at the end, let me show you this guy who knew everything I'd ever done before I'd even met him. Jesus already knows who she is, and yet that is not a barrier to him going and sitting with her and ministering to her immediate need and then meeting her deepest need. He knew before he sat down who this lady was and what she had done. And that makes the statement in verse 28 just so incredible. Already knowing all about her, he offers her acceptance with God, eternal life. God knows all about you. He knows all about me. He knows all that we've done. He knows why we've done it. He knows about our searches for maybe success or significance. He knows about our longings for love. He knows about our mission to find meaning in this world. He knows how those longings, those feelings have maybe led us to do or not do things which are not right in his eyes and are not honouring. He knows the mess we've ended up making of our own lives, the hurt we've caused others. He knows everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're going to do in the future. And yet he too offers exactly what he offers this lady. Forgiveness. Acceptance. Forgiveness from sin. Freedom from her past. Freedom from her guilt. And as we come to take this bread and wine, we're reminded, aren't we, that we needed forgiveness. We could never get right with God ourselves. We could never be acceptable or accepted by God ourselves. We needed him to die on the cross to save us from our sin. We needed his forgiveness. And Jesus makes it possible. And so even though we want to think about us at this point as we take the bread and wine and what God has done for us, let it also move us and challenge us to and encourage us to be forgivers, to be people who forgive as we have been forgiven. So that grace of forgiveness moves us to want to forgive others. Not that that's easy. Again, how did forgiveness come about? Through major suffering, the death of Jesus Christ in our place. We're not saying it's easy, but it's what grace does. And we get to minister grace through being forgiving. And that can be in the small things, as we're going to hear again in the video in a moment. forgiving that moody and demanding boss, forgiving the unkind words of a friend or partner, forgiving the unreasonable behaviour of family members, forgiving even the crimes committed against us or the ones we love. It's obvious, but the word forgiveness has the word give in it, in the middle there. And it is one of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest things we can give to others. But not as that gift, as I mentioned earlier, like a tie, a commodity, a nice thing. But actually, often forgiveness is grace because it's needed. Maybe this woman, she couldn't forgive herself. She couldn't live with herself, but God could meet that need. And forgiveness is, well, like I say, not just a gift to add to the collection of nice things we have. It's very much a need. And those who understand their need of forgiveness maybe see how others need them to forgive them also. Which is what we're told to do, isn't it? We pray, forgive us our sins, our things that we've done wrong, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And those who understand that God does that for us will want to do that for others. Those who understand that God came to us, God is a God who came, well, we will go. Grace begets grace. God, those who understand that God has given us so much, we give. Those who understand how much we've been forgiven will forgive. Grace begets grace. How gracious, how graceful, full of grace, how grace ministering are we in the light of the cross and a true understanding of what we receive? Then obviously we should be the most gracious people on the earth, and if we are, then surely others will get a glimpse of the grace that is God, the goodness that's God in us. So I want us to come to communion. I want us to break bread and I want us to drink wine, and maybe just unusually reflect not just on what Christ has done for us and be full of joy, but reflect on what Christ has done for us and reflect on how much we need him to work through us, that we would reflect him. Like I say, we're going to see some stuff in a moment that's practical, and maybe that's not what we need to do for the next few minutes. Maybe we just need to come to him broken and recognize where we haven't done to others what he's done to us, and ask for his help and his leading. So we're going to serve the bread, and as you receive it, please take the bread and just pray individually, pray quietly. As you've heard about grace and what we've received and forgiveness that is ours in Jesus Christ, if you haven't yet received that, then we suggest that you don't take the bread and the wine, because this is something that Jesus gave to those who are his believers, his followers, and he said, you know, do this in remembrance of me. An understanding of all these things is important. So just don't worry about not taking it. We all have to come to a place at some point in our lives where we receive the gift, we receive the grace God offers. Maybe you've not done that, but maybe you can do that in the quietness as well. So let's serve the bread, take it, eat it, pray individually, and then maybe the musicians can come up after that, and as we serve the wine, we'll have some music if that's possible.